You're listening to Ian Stone's Comedy Breakfast, the podcast edition. I'm here on Love Sport Radio every weekday morning at 6:30.
This is Love Sport.
Jamie has come in to basically flick through the newspapers, as far as I'm concerned.
Did you hear that?
You were just very briefly going through, no, this is not suitable. No, too highbrow, far too highbrow. Let's find something about a badger that's died at 80 or something. What have you got?
Well, a man is suing his parents for getting rid of his porn stash.
Oh, for goodness.
This is for £66,000. This is in America.
What? £66,000 worth of porn, did he say?
That's what he's suing them for. Yeah, I don't know whether part of that is for his, emotional distress about losing his porn stash. I don't know. But that's the thing he's gone for, 66 grand. How old is the fella? He's 40.
He's 40. He's living with his parents, is he?
I'm not sure. All I know is that they ditched him.
Oh, this everything about this story upsets me in a number of ways, really. He shouldn't be at home. What's he doing with the porn stash? Why have his parents got access to it? What?
I think, we can speculate all we want. I think they just stumbled across it and thought, well, we're not having this. And then he got home. And suddenly all his DVDs and magazines were gone. And fair play to him, not one to sort of give up on it. He thought, I'm taking them to court.
America is a very litigious place, though, isn't it?
Let's be fair.
So they do that. But this seems a little bit odd. Because I'd like to hear that in the court when they're reading out one copy of Razzle, two Reader's Wives. I mean, it's there's other jokes I could do there, but I won't. But anyway, other porn names pop into my head, but I'll leave it. But
how do you know them?
A friend of mine. But you know, the thing is, it's a bit sordid and horrible, isn't it, really? And I'm not sure I'd really want my parents involved in any way.
No, and if it did happen, you sort of think maybe you'd just forget about it.
Let it go.
Quiet.
I suppose unless it costs 60 odd grand, but it's embarrassing, isn't it?
If he has spent 60 odd grand on porn,
he has a problem.
He's got a massive problem.
He has a massive problem. But you know what? I would say to him, there are free sites, so I'm told, where you can find all the porn you possibly could want.
Yeah, okay? True. I'll keep you updated with what happens with him.
Updated.
There is a story about the worst signs on first dates, or the things you should avoid on first dates. Can you guess some of the things that came top?
Anyone who's got a porn stash that they're prepared to sue over, that would be one.
Yeah. Not a good idea to talk about your ex-partner or something like that, is it? Or that sort of thing, I'd have thought.
Yeah, that one might
be in there. Ex-partner is a good one. Actually, I can't see it on the list. No, bad breath came top.
Yeah, terrible.
But only a quarter of people said they ditch a first date with bad breath, which is
really
only a
they'd
quarter.
They'd probably think, oh, look all right. Just,
Well, what he needs is some sort of mints.
Yeah.
I don't mean mince as in mince meat.
Bolognese,
I mean,
right.
Yeah,
right.
I mean mince. Yeah, yeah, that's right. Get some fresh mince in the butcher. I thought this would work. Go on, eat it. Eat it. Mince.
Yeah, mince would help. Well, this was a survey done for Listerine, so I think they were probably pushing people towards that answer.
Oh, okay.
Some of the other things that people said they would be turned off by: being too loud. That was the next after bad breath. Too loud on the first date, that would put you off, wouldn't it? If someone's a bit full of it, you think, calm down.
Yeah, it's a bit odd, isn't it? Just but loud people generally, it's a bit annoying, isn't it? Yeah. I heard a man shouting in the street the other day, and I turned around, I just thought, why are you shouting? There's no need to shout.
What was he shouting about?
Do you know what? It was blokey stuff. It was, I don't know, he was just shouting. And you know what? You always think, oh dear, is it going to kick off shouting? And I thought, there's no need for it.
No, there's no need.
So that would put me off. I wouldn't go out with him. What else?
Ticking them off. Being lazy and slow came third.
Lazy and slow?
Yeah, that's what would be a strange one.
What, I don't know how on your can... first date?
Yeah, I don't know how you could really tell that.
Pass me the menu. Reach over and get it yourself. I'm sitting here.
Or being a slow eater, would that put you off?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Mm. I mean, you know, we've got to eat a reasonable pace.
Yeah, but
because you're waiting for your pudding.
Exactly.
And they're still going through their main course. You're going, what are you, how can you eat this? Isn't it cold? It annoys me immensely.
Me too. My girlfriend is a really, really slow eater.
We've
been together a year and a half now, but I did confess to her the other day that I was close to knocking on the head after the first date because of the hour long.
Listen, I've met her and she seems like a very nice person, but the slow eating would just...
Can't get over that.
No, it's very good. Because it's not going to change, is it?
Haven't you had the conversation, you're still together?
Yeah, we're still together. I managed to get over the slow eating thing.
He starts eating earlier. I've made dinner for us, but I've had the main course already. You just get going, love.
No, I should give her a head start. Yeah, I should give her a head start.
I know what I meant. Anyway.
Unfortunately, I'm a really fast eater, so it doesn't really work on that front, but I know.
Well,
I know.
That should be part of the dating, you know, when you put on the website, when you put in stuff like, yeah. You know, no slow eaters. Any notes? Can I put notes on those things? Well, on particular little things you have?
Oh, on your Tinder profile, you can have all sorts of stuff. Like, yeah, some girls have no one under 6 foot. So that rules me out straight away.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I think is a bit shallow of them.
No, but it depends how tall they
are. Yeah, but you can't write that. If you did that to girls, I mean, I'm not going to say some of the stuff you could say, but it would be accused of, you know, sexism. I think it's wrong to say that, to rule people out straight away.
What, you mean like minimum breast size? Something like that.
I wasn't going to say anything.
Double D or larger would obviously be wrong in that sense. It would. Although I guess in the end, if you did put that on a dating website, the sort of girls who wouldn't mind that would be the sort of girls you might be interested in. Maybe, I don't know. It would narrow it down, wouldn't it?
And I also,
and
I suppose,
it would save a lot of wasted time.
It is time. Yeah, it saves them time. Because if I turn up 5'9" and they were expecting 6 foot, then there's no point. So you've got to be honest. You've got to be up front with this stuff.
I think you do. Hmm. It's a bit unfortunate if you're that shallow. But hey, that's whatever you want.
Yeah.
You know, okay.
There was a
anything else?
Another story in the papers here about a chap, a Leeds fan, who broke his ankle celebrating the goal against Sheffield Wednesday.
I saw
at the
that.
Weekend, but he did manage to stay to the end. He stayed an extra half an hour. He said the most important thing was seeing out the 90 minutes.
He stayed to the end.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Was he in a cast? I mean, what happened?
No, it was just because he broke it during the game. So
no, but
just,
they didn't do anything for him?
No, he was just stood there with a swollen, sat. With a swollen ankle.
That would have been excruciating.
What if everyone's going to stand up if you hate Tottenham? And he's going, I can't. Get up. I've broken my ankle. All right, then. All right. Yeah, that would have hurt.
Yeah, it would have hurt. You ever played on with a serious injury, Luther? Or were you
fractured
one to...
kneecap.
Yeah.
You what? Fractured kneecap?
Broke my kneecap.
Played on?
After about 20 minutes. Played on.
Oh, my God. You are the Bert Trautman.
Absolutely. In the dressing room at halftime, sat there with my leg up on the bench.
Yeah.
Bag of ice on it while the team talk was going on. Bag of ice off, got back out there, played on. With about 15 minutes to go, a calf went, and I couldn't run then, so I had to get off.
Well,
went straight to the hospital, plaster cast. 4 days later, operation, kneecap out, put it back together, put it back in.
Oh my God, enjoy your breakfast, everyone. Wow. Okay, I mean, I've done gigs when I've had a bit of a cold. Does that count? Okay.
Love sports.
England fast bowler Mark Wood has questioned whether bringing in Jofra Archer to the one-day international squad will ruin the team's dynamic. England's World Cup squad gets announced tomorrow, and Barbados-born Archer now qualifies through residency. I mean, Mark Wood has been the first to say that his place could be the one that's in jeopardy if Jofra Archer comes through. And Mark Wood, basically, what he said was he was talking about Faustino Asprilla and that team in 96, that Newcastle team. Ginola was in that team, was he not?
He was.
Barton.
That was some team.
That was a great team. That was a really, really good team. Dynamic. But they got reeled in. That was the season with Kevin Keegan.
And the rant.
I'd love it if we beat them.
Yeah.
When Ferguson basically got to him a little bit. And they were under pressure. There's no doubt about that. They were under massive pressure. But it was also Eric Cantona and Peter Schmeichel won that title. You could say Newcastle lost it, but Cantona kept getting important goals. And Schmeichel, that game against Newcastle.
That's what they were about, weren't they? That is what United was about. You know, they had arguably the best goalkeeper in the world at that time, and at the top they had Cantona, who was just unbelievable. He was scoring goals and making goals for fun.
So it wasn't just about Asprilla unbalancing the team, but he did unbalance the team. And I think, I mean, the point I was making to Jamie about team dynamic in cricket is not quite the same. There is still a team dynamic in the dressing room.
Yes, there has to be.
And you know, you have to have each other's back. But on a football pitch, it's about the balance of the play, and a player like Asprilla does change the way the game is played.
Yeah.
He does.
He does.
Because I mean,
one of those unpredictable people.
We had a discussion yesterday about whether Spurs are actually better without Harry Kane.
And I'll tell you what, if you look at what they did when he got injured before Christmas and into the new year, the way Son stood up and dragged that team through that period, and then Kane came back, and he almost had that little bit of a dip, didn't he, Son, for a few games? But now Kane's out again. he's here again, and he's showing, look, here I am.
And Lucas Moura has stepped up as well, but it's also the fact that Harry Kane plays in a particular position. He doesn't run the channels anymore.
No.
So he's basically central. Him being central means that Son and whoever else has to go out wide. It changes the way they play.
Yeah.
Would Spurs be better off basically sat around Madrid? Listen, take Harry Kane. We'll have Gareth Bale in a new stadium, and we'll play with a bit more pace than we do. I mean, this is a mad thought, but I'm just putting it out.
Yeah, and then they could think about a different central striker then, a different type of player to play in the middle.
Yeah.
To do that.
Well, you know what? I mean, it's a conversation.
It's not going to happen, is it?
There is absolutely no way it will happen, although I do think Gareth Bale should go back to Tottenham. I mean, I genuinely
think... It's probably the only club that he would...
In a new stadium, you know...
It's the money, isn't it? It's the money is what it boils down to.
I agree.
Problem, if they do lose somebody like Kane to go, but as you say, you can't really see that happening.
No, I can't see it happening at all. I was just talking about the general, just watching Spurs and watching how fluid they are without Harry Kane, the team. Let's have a chat about Leighton Orient. They're bidding to get back into the Football League. They're 2 points clear at the top of the National League after Saturday's victory over Sutton United. We're joined now by Leighton Orient captain, Joby McEnough. Morning, Joby.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning. Yeah, we're doing fine. Great season so far.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad. We're obviously pretty happy with where we are at the moment.
Yeah.
Bit of work to do yet. You know, it's really important to try and get the club back in the league, really where it belongs. And, you know, we put ourselves in a great position, you know, 3 games to go now.
And an 89th minute winner against Sutton.
Yeah, there's been a few things happening recently that just, you know, seem to be pointing us in the right direction. You know, great effort and spirit from everybody. We were down to 10 men for the last half an hour or so, and you know, it was a difficult place with the pitch being, you know, the
it's an artificial pitch, isn't it?
Yeah, which I'm certainly not a fan of. I don't think many people are.
No, not really.
Are you not? I mean,
they're terrible.
I mean, it's interesting because I've played on, you know, just knocking about with mates football on artificial pitches. I mean, I guess I've never played in a really nice grass pitch. It's better, right?
Yeah, but I think when you play five-a-side, small side of games on artificial pitches, it's fine. But when you get on a proper 11-a-side pitch, it's not one of my favourite places at all to play on that. Especially when I did, because they were really
they
rubbish back
so good then.
They were rubbish. They were like playing in your living room.
They're better now, though, Joby.
A little bit. Probably not as good for the old boys like myself. Well.
That's right.
I am also wondering how big Luther's living room is as well, by the way.
At the beginning of the season, what was the mood? Was there a real belief that you know, they could come straight back and get themselves back in the league? The way that you prepared for the season?
Yeah, amongst the players there were, and obviously the staff, we were lucky that we had a real settled squad from last year. Last year was really the platform. You know, that we used to build, really. You know, the fans have been brilliant. You know, they gave us that sort of year to kind of get everything back going and get stabilised again. And then this year it was a matter of getting back up, however we did it, whether it was through the playoffs, which we definitely thought, you know, top seven was, you know, something we were aiming for. Obviously, it's gone a little bit better than that. And, you know, we found ourselves at the top for long periods of the season now. So, yeah, the aim is promotion. It's very simple. Obviously, it'd be great to do it going up straight as champions.
Yeah, and it's in the balance at the moment. I mean, you're 2 points clear of by far the richest club, I believe, in the National League as well. Salford are spending quite a lot of money to try and get back up there.
Well, they are, but I mean, it doesn't always equal success, as we've seen with, you know, clubs at all levels. I mean, it takes time for players to bed in and you know, a way of playing to kind of be formulated. So I feel from that point of view, we were fortunate. We very much had a head start this year. And, you know, they've done well, to be fair, despite obviously having the money they've got, you know, to be where they are.
Yeah.
You know, having come up the leagues as they have, you know, it's all credit to them really as well.
And myself and Luther were at the Arsenal-Watford game last night on opposite sides. But and what do you think of the Troy Deeney assault?
Yeah.
On Torreira.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of a line that was overstepped. You know, I get the aggression side, and I don't think his comments in the past really helped him, if I'm being totally honest.
That's what we've been saying.
I think it's something that the referees and the officials would certainly be looking at. And I just think, you know, you've got to be a little bit cuter. You know, I get it. And, you know, there's a part of that game that is very important in terms of, you know, getting the Arsenal players on the back foot and, you know, helping, obviously, his team. But, you know, it's unfortunate probably that it got seen. And for me, yeah, it was definitely a red card.
Yeah. Well, it did get seen. But you've got to be pleased with your old club, Watford, and how they're doing. Cup final to come. It's been a good season, hasn't it?
They've been brilliant. They've been brilliant. I think, you know, them and Wolves for me have probably been the real standout teams this year. You know, of the rest, I suppose, the best of the rest, really, and you take the top six out of it. And, you know, I think they'd really be looking at finishing the season strong. You know, they've got some good home games, big game against Wolves at home later on in the season that could really sort of dictate, you know, where exactly they finish in the league. But regardless of that, they've had a fantastic season, you know, cup final to look forward to. It's just great to see, you know, the club in such a good place. You know, everybody seems to be pulling in the right direction there, which hasn't always been the case in the last sort of few years. And, you know, the players, you know, for a fact, are really enjoying their football. And, you know, once you get that, then obviously the results follow.
That's right. And moving on to the other end of the table, obviously Cardiff. What's your feeling on Cardiff? Do you think they can, especially if they get a result tonight, get out of the position they're in?
I think it's all about tonight, Lufar, to be honest. You know, I've looked at some of the fixtures. You know, Brighton got some real tough games to come, man. So I think if Cardiff could nick a win tonight, I think, you know, it could be massive. I think you're going to get a bit of a reaction, obviously, from Brighton, as you would expect after such a heavy defeat, which is so unlike them, really, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
So, and they don't either score lots of goals, so it's going to be really tight. I don't know, something in me just edging towards Cardiff, maybe to nick a real tight win away and then, you know, make it really interesting for the running.
Certainly would be interesting for the running. I'm told you're out with a slight groin injury. You got a chance of getting back for the last few games of the season?
Well, I just heard Luther's story about his broken kneecap, so I don't think I've got much place to be on the sideline anymore.
Yeah, stop moaning. Yeah, frankly.
But yeah, I'm hoping to be out there Friday. Yeah, I've been back running now, so
great.
Yeah, fingers crossed it holds up and can get myself out there for the last three games.
Good luck for the rest of the season, Joby. Nice to speak to you.
Okay.
See you soon, Joby. Joby McEnough there, Leighton Orient captain, former Watford and Cardiff midfielder. I'm a little bit stunned by the broken kneecap one as well. I've got to be honest. No wonder the calf went on the same leg, I'm guessing.
Yes, it was, yeah.
Yeah, because the leg is going, well, we have to do something else to hold it up.
It has, yes. You know, your calf has been supporting this thing for the last almost hour.
Oh, my
and
God.
And now it's had enough, so...
Oh my God.
That was it. And it literally it was. It just went to run and it went, there was nothing there. And I went, all right, that's it.
Stop talking now. It's upsetting me. It is.
This is Love Sport.
I've got to be honest, the first time I watched Dutch football live, I went in 1972, I think. It was at Arsenal, and I went to see him play Ajax. The Ajax team turned up in the quarterfinal of the European Cup.
Yeah.
And it was Johan Neeskens and Johan Cruyff and a couple of the others. Harry Hahn, I think, played.
So they had Rens and Brink and people
like
that.
Yeah, Robbie Rens and Brink. I mean, they were just brilliant. They were
ridiculous.
Well, you know what they were? Played. They were modern football. They were football now.
Yeah.
But only back then. And we didn't watch too much football like that. The way they move the ball, the way that they interchange position, total football, right? The Dutch football that
and
we
way,
all...
Yeah, and the shape that they played, you know, one of the things that really got me about it was when they played with the two wide men and they just literally stayed and hugged the touchlines all the time, never left the touchlines. So it gave you such a problem to defend because you couldn't squeeze across. If you squeeze across the pitch as a defensive four, then you left that whichever one of the wide men on
wide,
their own.
On his own.
And, you know, and they would just tear you to bits.
Which is what Man City do now.
Yes. All the teams do it. They all do it. Barcelona do it. They all do it. They keep the game very, very wide from there, yeah.
Barcelona is a Dutch invention, right?
Mm, yeah.
In the end, it's
Cruyff, isn't it?
It's Cruyff. It's Johan Cruyff, yeah. And he understood that game better than almost anyone. Mm. And, well, almost better than anyone. And like I say, it was very interesting to watch the way they played. They used to talk about Johan Cruyff and say that he liked the sound of a ball smacking against a post, right? He said it made a really satisfying sound. So if there was a game where Ajax were toying with the team, he'd actually aim for the post a few times because he liked the sound of it sometimes. And you think, yeah, they were a lot better than everyone else.
If you're good... then you can do that sort
well,
of
you
thing.
Do, yeah. Oh, you know, I meant
we'll,
to hit the post.
We'll pick our moment when we kill them off properly.
Of course I meant to hit the post. I'm going to hit it again. Yeah. I mean, yeah, if you can do that, but only if you're that good. But that was when I first became aware of that idea. Now it seems to have been adopted by a lot of the teams.
A lot of teams have done it. And my thing, and it goes back to the Watford conceding that goal. And if you remember when Emery came in, that first game we saw them play against Man City, and they were trying to play out from the back, and you thought, they're going to get caught, they're going to concede a goal by it. And you think, but they stuck at it, and they have improved, but the dangers are still there. Teams just don't press like they were doing at the beginning of the season against
No,
them.
That is true, but I must say, I remember sitting there watching that, and Petr Cech almost passed the ball in his own goal.
More than once.
But you know what? The sensible ones around us were basically going, we know what he's trying to do. Let's try and do it. You can't abandon it the first time it goes wrong. We're playing one of the best teams in Europe. Yeah. As it turns out, our home form has been absolutely outstanding in the main.
Yes.
The fact that we lost to Man City is the only league game we've lost. Watford, we were lucky, really, to get away with it, and Wolves as well. But really, I like it when they persevere, and I don't mind if they make mistakes. And this is why, by the way, I like Ben Foster's attitude last night game. Mistakes will happen.
They will happen, but my own thing about it, and at the beginning of the season, he wanted to lay some foundations to something, and I just felt that if it had gone really wrong, and it possibly could have gone they could have been beat 4 or 5 in that first game, and that makes it very difficult then for the players for that confidence to grow like it did at the rate that it did.
Well, I'm glad that it didn't go as wrong as that because that would have been a shame.
It would have been because they deserved more than they got out of the game, actually.
And you've got to give him credit for it. He's obviously looking at the first two fixtures, which are Man City at home and then Chelsea away.
Yeah.
And at Chelsea away, by the way,
They should have won that one.
Yeah. They opened Chelsea up on about 9 occasions in the first half and missed unbelievable chances. But at least you see a certain progression.
Yes, and they definitely had that.
And I know we didn't start talking about Arsenal here, but the fact is Arsenal now got 3 points more with 5 games to play than they had the end of last season. Yeah. So you've got to see it as some sort of progression.
It's a big progression what they've done.
Yeah. Jamie has come in. He's got some stories from inside the newspapers. Jamie?
Yeah, there's...
God, the first 3 pages in that paper are all pictures of... No, seven pages of Notre Dame Cathedral burning.
Horrific, aren't they?
And it looks awful.
Yeah.
Looks awful. It's really sad. What else you got, Jamie?
Yeah, there's a story about the attention span in the modern age and about how in the last few years in particular, our attention span just seems to be going down and down. Now, this might seem obvious when you talk to people or when you see people on their phones while they're watching television, not concentrating, which I think people do more and more now, especially young people, because you've got constant information on Twitter, Instagram. You're watching something on telly and loads of people just scroll through their phones because one screen isn't enough and they get bored by it. But they've actually looked at Twitter and seen how long trends last. And actually in 2013... a trend on Twitter stayed in the top 50 for an average of 17 and a half hours, but now it's only 11.9 hours in 2016. So over these 3 years, people get bored of the trends on Twitter quickly. If you look at films, the average film was found to have remained popular for around 2 months in the 1980s. Nowadays, it only takes a week for people to move on to the next one. So our attention span has gone down.
You enjoyed the game yesterday? You enjoyed the game yesterday? Was it good?
What game was that?
It has gone down. There's no doubt about it. People have less and less. Well, we used to talk about it in terms of the MTV generation, that people could only concentrate for 3 minutes.
But it's everything about society when you think about it. It's all about now, this minute, or whatever. And the clothing thing, because there's a big thing now about against sustainability and all that sort of thing about clothing. And it's everybody buying clothes for 2 minutes and they wear it once, never wear it again, chuck it away back at the wardrobe, go and buy new clothes again, you know, and all this sort of thing.
Disposable.
It is just the way that society is going.
News and information are just now as disposable as anything else, really.
Yeah.
You see it, you go, oh, you know, you see like pictures of Notre Dame burn, you go, oh, that's terrible. Anyway, what's for dinner? But I think to a certain extent, we're desensitized by a lot of stuff that goes on.
Yeah.
I think that's what happens. For example, you watch the news and there's something terrible on the news, right? You're watching, I don't know, some Syria appalling thing, and you sit there and go, oh, that is terrible. That is terrible. And then there's another appalling story, you go, oh, that is awful. didn't you?
Yeah.
And then there's a third story, you go, that is horrible. And then you run out of adjectives. Right? And at some point you have to double up on adjectives, didn't you? You go, right, that is terribly awful, that, or that is awfully horrible. And
that's then, awfully terrible.
And, that is awfully and then at some point you just go, I don't have any more ways of expressing my upset and dismay at what is going on. So you, I think to a certain extent, you switch off.
Yeah.
I think is what happens. You switch off, and I think that's what's happened with almost everything. We've lost sight of what's actually important.
Yeah,
which
maybe.
Is football. Mainly.
Even Google search. I mean, even Google searches, things like Brexit, from like complex things like Brexit to Adidas trainers, everything now lasts
less.
A short, yeah, quarter of the time that it did in 2010, actually.
So more information, less knowledge.
Yeah, I suppose.
It's basically what it is.
Don't go into as much detail. Or yeah. As we've got so much information the whole time, then we feel like now we're able to move on rather than sticking with one topic. But
yeah,
either
but
way,
I'm not
that's
sure,
what's happening.
I'm not sure people know that much about anything.
Probably
they
right.
know a little about everything, but yeah. that's not much, it's not very much use, is it?
Sound when you've
bites. Got, well, sound bites, but it's not very much use when you're when no. you're, for example, taking major votes on major constitutional issues, no. I would suggest. You
no,
know,
maybe the MPs should pay a bit more attention then not move on so quickly.
Well, there's that. That is quite useful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is another story here about...
well said, Jamie. Yeah, yes.
Thanks very much. Amen to that.
Yeah, yeah.
Churchill. Winston Churchill and Margaret Thatcher are the two examples that the paper gives, but also Sir Alex Ferguson. What have they got in common?
I don't know. They all like ham sandwiches.
Not what I was thinking of. They might all like that jam ham sandwiches.
Or jam sandwiches. Possibly. No, but it's not those things.
It's not those things.
What
no,
is it?
They all reckon they could get by in 4 or 5 hours sleep.
Oh, the lack of sleep. Again, really? Yeah. Yeah, but look how moody they all were.
Yeah, that is a point.
Blimey, Thatcher. She was a nightmare. So was Fergie, by the way, most of the time. I don't know about Winston Churchill. He only got about, 4 or 5 hours sleep.
They
all
reckon...
he did drink an enormous amount of booze.
Yeah, they all said they could do it. I mean, yeah, like you say, they might. Some of them might be a bit miserable.
Yeah.
But they all had high power, high pressure jobs and didn't need as much sleep as some people. I mean, I certainly couldn't cope with that. But the story in the paper today is that it's a bit of a myth that you can cope on that. You may be able to get by, but actually it has implications for your health.
Detrimental effects, there's no doubt about it. And we all had to suffer with them with Margaret Thatcher, didn't we? Let's be fair. Over the years.
Just
her
to be
lack
clear,
of
were
sleep.
You, were you keen on Thatcher or not?
I'm just putting it out there, that's all. She shut minds because she was so tired. And that's how tired she was.
So just go on to this, what is it, the 997?
996. This
six.
Is the Japanese
the
guy,
yeah.
isn't it? Who's saying we should work for 9 hours, 9 hours a day. No. Is it nine it's, hours a day? Yes, it is nine hours,
hours
6 days a week.
Yeah,
is what he's saying. From nine, no, 12 hours a day. From 9 in the morning till 9 at night, 6 days a week.
Why do you want to do that?
Well, I don't know.
Whose side's he on?
Well, he is one of the richest people in the world,
and he's doing pretty well. So it works for
he
him.
He just says that's. I bet he's got lots of employees, hasn't he?
Yeah, but
he's probably runs a big business.
Yeah, but it is actually part of the culture in China to do that.
Is it Japan?
Japan, sorry,
in Japan,
to do that.
It is
part
Japan.
Of the culture to do that.
Anyway, this lack of sleep thing. Well, it doesn't work for me. It doesn't. There's not, and it doesn't work for you. And you, Luther. I mean, you're actually not bad, are you? You
no,
can get by
I get by. I get by on 4 hours, 5 hours of sleep.
But you have a little nap, though, don't
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
Cheating then.
Yeah. No, no. When I'm driving, I just nod off for about 5 minutes. You know.
That's why I used to miss chances.
Knackered. Get doing in.
Fall asleep. Going... far post. Oh, I missed another one. Gone. Anyway, it's not good for your kids.
No, and
get
don't.
Your, get your kid.
Yeah, and don't drink before bed because your quality of sleep isn't good.
Don't drink before bed. That's how I get to bed at 9:30 at night, so I can get up in the morning. What do you want me to do? Oh, it's got to be heroin again, isn't it? Am I not allowed to say that? Oh, okay. We're broadcasting.
Love sports. Talking in the back pages today about Billy Vunipola. He hasn't apologised for his social media post. This all
no,
comes from...
because he thinks gays should go to hell. That's what he thinks.
Well, he didn't say that he should go to hell.
He didn't say
he
that,
didn't
but
say
that's
that.
Essentially what he thinks.
He pretty much quoted the Bible in places, didn't he?
He's very Christian. Obviously, comes from Israel Folau, the Australian rugby union player who put up a social media post saying that adulterers, cheats, homosexuals,
liars,
drunks,
fornicators,
like, yeah,
drunks,
will all be going to hell.
Gamblers.
And then Billy Vunipola liked the post. Then he was approached for comment saying, why did you like that post? And he came out and he said, men and women were put on this earth to procreate. No. I mean...
Well, partly.
But
partly.
Yeah,
sex can be for fun as well, by the way. doesn't have to all be about procreation.
Yeah, but that wasn't. Perhaps I slightly misquoted him, but the point was that it's the man and a woman who should procreate.
Well, it's difficult with anyone else. To be fair.
Well, you know what the point he was making.
I don't have a womb.
But anyway, he's come out and he hasn't apologised for his post.
No.
He's met up with Saracens. He got booed by some of the Bristol fans when Bristol played Saracens.
They played It's Raining Men as he came off after the game. Absolutely hilarious, just to wind him up.
They obviously the authorities responded by criticising him, and he's come out and apologised, and I think they've made him aware. He hasn't apologised.
No.
And they've made him aware of his responsibilities as a Saracens player.
Yeah. And don't talk about the gays. Well, just leave it.
Well, Martin Samuel's talking about this in the Mail today, saying that, well, what do we expect? We want them to have all the benefits of the Pacific Islanders on the rugby pitch, be big and strong and excellent rugby players, but we're not happy when they've got the views of what a lot of the Pacific Islanders have, which very strong Christian views. But I think that's, I don't know, I think the expectations of Martin Samuel towards the Pacific Islanders is too low, because they've spent lots of time in Britain. They know what is unacceptable to say. And even if you do have these Christian views, they know full well that we live in a society now where, you know, homosexuals find it hard to come out and are put under a lot of pressure in society anyway. So when you have professional sports people saying that sort of stuff, it's wrong, and they shouldn't be saying that sort of stuff.
But when you have people that have those views, and if that is how they've been brought up, that is everything that they've been drummed into them from they were a young age, it's very, very difficult to turn that around. And at some stage, they will reveal themselves, which is the reason why we still have all sorts of issues going on, because a lot of people have been grown up that way, and you know they do sort of keep it down, but occasionally it pops its head up, and you know their true self is revealed, and you know this is unfortunately what will keep happening.
Yeah, but anyway, I mean, in the end, so I know it's terrible that he says so gay should go to hell. I mean, it's all nonsense anyway, isn't it? All absolute nonsense.
So for us, as atheists and heterosexuals, it probably is, we're nonsense anyway because we don't believe that hell exists. But I think if you are, if you're gay and you're saying that, then it's...
I get it. It's not great.
Yeah.
It isn't great. And he should just be... I mean, in the end, if somebody has got strong Christian views and they leave the Pacific Island, they should be told, listen, you know what? Over in Britain, they're okay with the gay thing, all right? So why don't you just don't say anything about it.
And that's the thing, he's been in Britain for so long. But
it's respecting the
culture,
views and
the
culture of the
places
where you go.
Yeah.
Because there's many things. You go to places like Dubai and there's certain things you know you cannot do, and if you do, you get in all sorts of trouble about it.
Yes, you don't do it.
You don't do that. But then it just seems that when it happens here, you know,
we're much more tolerant.
We are.
Yeah.
We are a lot more tolerant than which is why a lot of reason why people from all over do come, because they have that freedom.
Well, he said,
but freedom, you know, there's responsibility that comes with freedom.
Yeah.
He said, I can see that my recent post has hurt people. My intention was never to cause suffering. My intention was to express my belief in the word of God. These beliefs are a source of great strength, comfort and guidance in my life. This is deeply personal and doesn't represent the views of my team. Anyone who knows me knows I live with kindness and love towards all people.
And you know what? I actually believe him. I do believe him. And I think they had the main substantive point he was making was that procreation, and that's what we're on this earth for as far as he's concerned, is for men and women, and surely that's the way. And you know what,
because
we know
it reads that way in the Bible.
A man should not lie with another man and all that sort of stuff, right? But just, you know what, maybe he just needs a bit more social media advice to say, look, this doesn't look good, really. That's all. And hopefully he'll learn from that. Hopefully he will. And
perhaps he should have learned from Folau being sacked from Australia rugby and thought, actually, I won't like this post and write my own post. I mean, that would have been sensible. Because that should have been enough of a lesson. I think he was wanting to make his point just to back up Folau, and he shouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
He shouldn't have done it.
Okay.
But I'm
okay.
Sure he will learn from it. Right then, should we get back to the football?
Have we got another? Okay. All right. Well, let's have a little chat then about the Arsenal Watford game last night. As we know, the Arsenal boss Unai Emery knows they'll need to improve if they're to stay on course in the Premier League and Europa League this season. They gave their domestic top four hopes a huge boost after holding on to beat 10-man Watford 1-0 last night. But Emery wants to see a bit more composure when they defend a 2-0 lead in the European quarterfinal second leg with Napoli on Thursday.
It's going to be difficult day performance at home with the supporter, and we are going to need also be consistent. Like today, in some situation, but better in our control.
Joining us now is the former Arsenal and Cardiff defender, Reece Weston. Good morning, Reece.
Morning, gents. How you doing, Reece?
Yeah, all right. Now, Arsenal are fighting on two fronts for the Champions League qualification. This was a big result last night, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the result was the fundamental thing. The performance was, well, nothing short of awful, really. When you think about they played the majority of the game against 10 men. I mean, how impressive are Watford, by the way, when they went down to 10 men? How much energy do they have?
Yeah.
They made it so, so difficult for Arsenal. And Arsenal toiled. And you mentioned there in the build-up, Arsenal hung on to win 1-0. It's exactly what it felt like. You know, they had a couple of half chances towards the end when Watford ran out of gas. But for the main, Watford were a better side with 10 men for the vast majority of that game.
Yeah, I mean, Arsenal opened up out of a few times down the flanks, but then the final ball in wasn't quite right. But you have to give, I mean, Luther was saying it, you have to give some credit to the Watford defending. You know, they defended with a lot of vim and vigour. They went for it and they got in the way and they made it difficult for Arsenal.
It did. I mean, obviously, Mavropanos coming back in, having not played for such a long time, I think, and Watford was certainly looking to exploit that. And when Shkodran Mustafi's playing right back, you know there's going to be some joy in those areas. But, you know, the reality, I mean, obviously, I think Troy will be pretty disappointed with the nature of his sending off. You know, there was, you know, a lot of discussion, was it, wasn't it? I mean, the reality is, you know, he's a heart-on-his-sleeve player and he gave the referee a decision to make, didn't he? I think that obviously had a huge impact on the game, just stating the obvious. But, you know, Arsenal... Again, they change tactically to play away from home, which I understand, but they just don't seem to click. It doesn't seem to work. I mean, they obviously withdrew Torreira at half-time, brought Ozil on with a view to Ozil trying to get things ticking over a bit more quickly with a bit more urgency. But, you know, I thought, you know, take nothing away from the Watford performance, you know, barring a freak goal where Aubameyang's got to take credit for his persistence. You know, I think Ben Foster made a really good save from Henrik Mkhitaryan and a reasonable save from Alex Iwobi. Other than that, I can't remember him making too many saves during the course of that game, which is testament to how Watford defended.
Yeah, I mean, they do that. But, I mean they've got to... that game's done. That's dusted for me now. But they've got a big game on Thursday, Napoli.
just a touch.
Yeah, you know, this... I don't think a lot of people really understand what a problem that lies ahead for Arsenal, especially if they concede an early goal against Napoli.
I covered the game on Thursday last week, and I thought the first half performance was the best I've seen Arsenal play for a long, long time.
Yeah.
I mean, Napoli were very disjointed. I mean, you've got Lorenzo Insigne dropping 30 of his own 18-yard box to try and get involved at one point in the first half. You know, all the talk was, can Arsenal maintain that kind of level of intensity in the second half? They faded a little bit after 70 minutes, and you saw then, you know, the quality that Napoli possess. But it's going to be a completely different prospect altogether going to San Paolo. With that, you know, partisan crowd, the atmosphere, it's going to be volatile and it's going to be a real test of their character. And, you know, I was quite pleased with a 2-0 scoreline. Obviously, some fans were bemoaning the fact there could have been maybe 3 or 4, but you also have to realise that, you know, the couple of chances that Napoli probably should have converted as well. So a score to nothing was probably the best you could hope for going into the second leg. But as you rightly say, you know, an early goal changes the whole dynamic of that game, and Arsenal's away form will no doubt be creeping up in the back of their minds if they do suffer an early setback.
Quite.
So it's going to be huge. It's going to be huge, isn't it?
Big game. Another big game tonight for another one of your former teams, Cardiff playing Brighton this evening. Cardiff, I think it's safe to say Cardiff have been on the wrong end of some pretty bad refereeing decisions, but they're not out of it, are they?
No, they're not out of it, but this game is absolutely huge, isn't it? You know, it's,
Brighton would take a draw now, wouldn't they?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, it's one of those games that it's a season defining game. I think if Cardiff lose tonight, I think that then puts a significant amount of daylight between Brighton and them. And Cardiff have got some tricky fixtures still to come, haven't they? They've still got to play Spurs. They've still got to play United.
Yeah.
So I mean, Neil Warnock said he reckons they need 10 points from the last 6 or 7 games. Another game's gone. They lost to Burnley at the weekend. Obviously, Brighton got absolutely walloped by Bournemouth. So both teams aren't coming into this game with a great amount of form. But I think Brighton will be looking at this going, right, if we get a positive result this evening, that effectively puts enough daylight between them and Cardiff, I think, given the games that are still to play. It pains me to say it, but, you know, you can bemoan Cardiff's luck during the course of the season, of course. There's been some tragedy and some very, very dubious refereeing decisions. But the reality is, over the course of 38 games, it is what it is, you know, and if they win tonight, they give themselves a fighting chance, but they have to win, as far as I'm concerned. There's no other way around it.
I mean, I feel for them a bit. I agree with you. They are where they are because they don't have enough quality. But they have had some bad decisions. And I think, to be honest, I thought most people thought that Cardiff would be where Fulham and Huddersfield are right now. And I think they've overachieved.
Yeah, but you expect nothing less from Neil Warnock's side. You know, whatever they're lacking in quality, they make up for in endeavour. And they face adversity time and time again this year. And, yeah, and they've bounced back. And people have been writing them off since day one, haven't they, as you rightly say. And they found ways to get results. And goal scoring has been an issue. And I just think that's the thing that's hindered them the most, in the sense that they haven't had anyone they can really go to. And again, very delicate subject, but Emiliano Sala may have been the anecdote that everyone was looking for. We all know how that played out, so unfortunately. So, of course, rotten luck. But Lenny Lawrence, old Cardiff manager, once said to me, seasons are defined on the first eight and the last eight games of the season. It's no truer statement when you look at what's happening at the top end and the bottom end. So they said all Cardiff can hope for is they look after their own agenda. If they win the remainder of their games, they'll stay up. Fact of the matter is, but it's a huge, huge game tonight and so much riding on it for both sides.
Thanks, Reece. Nice to speak to you.
Cheers, guys. Take care. Have a good day.
Weston, you. Reece Weston, former Arsenal and Cardiff defender.
Love Sport.
Tiger, 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 hear the tiger roar. He has won the Masters when his career was on the floor. That geezer's had some worries, but now he doesn't care. You can see when he took his hat off, he's lost his bleeding hair. Tiger, 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 he's back in town.
Ian Stone here with Luther Blissett on a comedy breakfast on Love Sport, joined by Bellen Sperling, who wrote that song.
Wow.
Well, you've written it within the last 36 hours.
Well, I don't know if you know our big hit, Sven, Sven, Sven. It's words to that song.
Right.
So we didn't actually, we cheated. We wrote the words over our hit.
They reel us out every now and again to write anything, and we put the Sven back in track, and we just rewrite the lyrics.
Yeah.
It's just to churn it out.
Well, it worked. It worked very well because he did. It was an amazing comeback.
And he is losing his hair.
And he is losing his hair. It was factually correct.
What do about that?
And topical.
And topical.
What more could you want?
He's had a lot of worries.
He's had a lot of worries.
To be fair, a lot of them wear these baseball caps, though, don't they? Yeah. These golfers, and you think, is it a hair loss thing? Yeah.
What about Jim Furyk? You've seen him, Jim Furyk.
As
he always looks fine. He takes you off. You go, oh, I didn't know you looked like that.
Yeah, he looks better with a hat on.
Can hold a lot, hold a lot of sins in, can't it?
Yes.
We discussed this yesterday, didn't we? We were saying, yes. I don't know if you were in here, but we were saying it because, do you wear hats? Do you wear hats?
Do you know what? I don't. Although, strangely enough, I forgot to tell you this. We did the gig on Saturday night, and there's a woman that hadn't seen us for years, and she came and she went, "What have you done to your hair?"
To you?
To me. And I thought, well, that's nice, isn't it?
What have you done to your hair?
I just had a number one on the side, make it look a little bit young and trendy.
A bit trendy, yeah.
Right, she wasn't impressed.
And then I come back, and she went, "Oh, it's terrible. Grow it again."
Yeah.
Well, that's nice, isn't it?
There's some lovely people around, aren't there?
Thanks very much for your advice.
I don't mind telling you what they think, do they?
Oh, they're very, very quick to come forward and tell you. When you do comedy, God.
Well, I can tell you something, Ian. I get trolled something chronic.
Yeah. Do you?
Oh, God, yeah.
Right.
I mean, things that you would not say to a dead dog. I haven't said anything to a dead dog. Well, exactly. That's what I mean, you know.
No, but what I'm saying is there isn't anything you wouldn't say to a dead dog.
No, there isn't. No.
He can't hear you.
No, he can't. Well, that's what I'm saying, you know. Yeah. Funny, on my way in, I did...
I'm going to let it go. I could argue more, to be honest.
I did hear on the way in, Jamie came in and read out the paper that some guy had been... he's suing his parents for the porn collection.
And
I was thinking, my God, I could sue my mum for millions for the stuff that she threw away when I was in my teens. I'm owed millions from her.
It was different in our day, wasn't it? Like,
it was different. Free sites.
As someone had said, we had to forage pornography.
You had to forage.
Didn't we? I found it under my dad's.
Do you remember the old, you have it tonight and I'll have it tomorrow night and all round your mates? Do you remember?
Well, my dad had a collection which was under under his good shoes. Yeah. In the
mine too.
And I
Ian,
used to
that's
go and...
incredible. My dad's was under his shoes.
Your dad's collection no. was under my dad's shoes. That's weird. Yeah, no. But what happened was I took it one night and I put it back in the wrong order. I think. Yeah, and my dad then moved it. And there was a couple of days when I was searching frantically, and I did find it in the end.
Luther, you've gone incredibly quiet
about this sort of thing. Oh no, 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 no,
no, no, no.
We used to buy it every Friday going on a coach away. We'd buy a magazine.
Of course. Yeah.
And everybody would read
buy
it.
The magazine.
We'd read it.
You'd read it round the coach.
Yeah.
A terrible.
We'd read it and have a laugh.
Terrible thing with Johnny.
It's silly things that you do when you're going up on a coach.
Johnny couldn't reach the top shelf, could you?
No, I couldn't. So was, no.
Yeah,
no.
To get the woman to get it.
To get the woman to get it. She was about 6'10".
Excuse me, can you pass me that? No, not that one. The other one. That's appalling. Yeah. What have you got coming up on the show?
More about that, in fact.
Right. So,
we've got Kevin Watson coming on, ex-Spurs.
Kevin Watson, ex-Spurs, yeah.
Which we're going to have a chat about.
Okay. Do you think, by the way, that Spurs are better without Harry Kane? I mean, I've been putting this out there that... Spurs should sell Harry Kane to Real Madrid, get Gareth Bale back, and sort of start in the new stadium that way. Listen, it's just I don't care either way.
No, of course you don't.
No, but I'm asking. Do you think?
I honestly don't think that they suffer when he goes. I'll be honest with you.
You thought they played better, didn't you? Because they raised their game.
Lucas Moura, I think, is he gets a chance to shine. I think. Yeah. Yeah. I think he's a great player.
Yeah, and no, listen, there's no doubt Harry Kane is an absolutely amazing
goal
scorer.
He is an amazing player.
But he's not the same player he used to be. He doesn't run the channel, so he stays, it seems to me, he stays in one place, and therefore it means that the players have to play around him.
They all seem to up their game, don't they, when he's not around.
All right.
Good issue, though, about Gareth Bale, because love to see Gareth Bale, even though I'm West Ham fan.
In the new stadium.
Back,
It just seems a fitting way to end his Tottenham career.
Yeah, I think it's something that possibly could happen, but Kane going the other way, I'm...
One is not going to happen without the other, because there's no way they can afford the wages.
No, 650 grand.
Whatever he's on. What else you got today?
We can talk about
we do all that. We do our little games. We do a game called Player Trumps.
Yeah.
Where we what do we do? I can't even remember.
Sounds like a great game.
It is a great game.
Do you make it up as you go along?
Yes. Talking to all things Manchester United tonight, and what do we reckon? Do you think he reckons he could do it, Solskjaer, doesn't he? I don't think he's got a hope in hell.
There's always a chance. Yeah. That's why we love the game the way we do. There's always that chance.
We didn't think they had any chance against PSG, and they got through. So who knows this evening? Yeah. Bell and Sperling coming up at 10 o'clock this morning. Beautiful. Nice to see you, chaps. It's the Comedy Breakfast on Love Sport Radio. We're not going for a break. I know we're not going for a break. Every day I think, are we going for a break? Apparently no. We just plough straight through.
No, we're doing a quick substitution.
Okay. Jamie has been brought on. Younger legs, fresher legs for the last 6-7 minutes.
I don't know how fresh you are these days, to be honest.
I'm sorry about that. Sorry about your legs. What have you got for us, Jamie?
It's a story. Actually, I like this one. Carlsberg's.
Well, okay then, but we'll be the judge of whether this is a good story.
You can't judge whether I like it or not.
No, that's true. I know.
This is Carlsberg's famous slogan, and it's sort of tongue-in-cheek, isn't it? I mean, probably the best lager in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone knows it's not. It's weaker, and it's not the best lager. It's one of the worst lagers.
but it wouldn't probably sell quite as much if they said one of the worst lagers in the world.
No, you're right. But funny you say that, because they are changing the advertising slogan because they know it isn't probably the best lager in the world.
Right.
They're changing it to probably not the best beer in the world.
Oh.
Yeah.
Bit of negative advertising just to see if that works.
Exactly.
Irony.
Yeah. I think irony, yeah. And I think they're at the point now that they know that everyone knows it's not, so they can get away with this. And most people, rather than going, oh, it's not a good beer, I won't drink it then, most people know what Carlsberg's about now and think that's funny.
You wouldn't start by saying probably not the best lager in the world, but years later, having used the other slogan,
and it has
quite
been a few
smart.
Years. Yeah, it's good.
Quite smart.
Well, it's been going 46 years, that slogan. I didn't realise that. Yeah. 46 years.
Was it probably the best lager in the world back when it started? Possibly.
I still reckon they probably had stronger lagers back then. It's only 3.8% Carlsberg.
Stronger, does that make it good?
Doesn't make it better, no. You're
Might
right.
Might be for some people who like their alcohol. Some people, but it's about
just
taste.
Likes the feeling it leaves them with,
yeah,
probably,
it's the
more
taste,
than anything
isn't
else.
It? Yeah. It's the taste. But okay.
Yeah, but your premium lagers tend to be a bit nicer, the stronger ones, don't they? Than Carlsberg, Foster's, which are a bit weaker. And no?
I'm not a fan of Foster's. But I'm
not a fan of any of that stuff.
No. Okay, well, fair enough. Anyway, they've changed. They're going for a slightly more ironic take. and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, so we can look forward to that.
Good luck to them.
Good luck to Carlsberg. There's a story in the papers about our facial expressions and about basically back in the day, they had sort of ridged brows, and they reckon that part of our evolution...
This is Neanderthals?
Yeah, Neanderthals, yeah. Oh. Part of our evolution, our ability to give complex signals and emotions to each other using our eyebrows has helped our evolution more than we think. So previously they thought our face had been shaped because of things such as, you know, diet, physiology, climate, that sort of stuff.
Right. Climate?
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess part of your body changes by how well you can cope with different climates over the years.
If it's all cold, you're all scrunched up. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Oh, God, it's cold, isn't it? I'm scrunching up my face now for effect.
Yeah, but they reckon that was... Well, they've always said that as one of the factors, but now they're saying that the need to express complex and varied emotions played a larger part in the evolution of our face.
Right.
Which is why now we have the ability to do... Well, they say 20 different emotions just by changing your eyebrows and your forehead.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Changing your forehead. It sounds like you're replacing it, but okay. Yeah, well, I mean, those things, there's still a lack of understanding, isn't there?
Yeah.
But you know what? I know as a comedian, it's sort of interesting when you're on stage and sometimes you just feel looser and you're more expressive and people are laughing more and you know you're using your face in a more expressive way.
Yeah,
it does seem to get bigger reactions.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, only a small part of what you're actually saying, the actual words, are how it's interpreted. So the way you say things, your facial expressions, your tone are massively important in getting your message across. And the actual words you use are, I think, less than only a small percentage, they say.
We understand this. I don't know what the percentages are, but I think it's generally understood.
Mm.
So what's the point?
So the point is...
Well, I'm raising my eyebrows, actually, at this point, to this story. What is the point of this
story? Just the point is that this is in a Nature and a Nature Ecology and Evolution journal that actually they've said that the need to express those emotions have played a massive part in shaping our faces, which we didn't know before.
And that's official.
Okay.
That's official now. Good news...
I've just stamped that as official.
Good news stories from across the world.
Oh, brilliant.
A dog in Thailand, right? Cast away in
love
the ocean.
This story. Yeah.
Cast away in the ocean.
17 years ago.
But not 17 years ago. Don't know how long ago, but it was 140 miles from land. And
cast away 140 miles from land on a boat.
What could have happened is it could have been abused on a vessel and thrown off.
Oh, my God.
Or it could have jumped in the sea, probably from a fishing boat, just because it felt like it. They're not quite sure, but chances are it came from a boat. And anyway, some oil rig, ship was going past, saw the head bobbing up and down. Luckily, the sea was quite calm, so it could spot it.
Picked it up.
Said if it had been big waves, they wouldn't have seen it. Yeah, picked it up.
Yeah.
Dog didn't say anything.
Because they can't speak.
Dog just...
didn't say a word. Talk, dog. I can't believe we found a dog in the ocean and it doesn't speak. I mean, how rubbish is. Chuck it back in. It's probably why it got chucked in the first place. Non-talking dog. What do you mean the dog didn't say anything?
Well, it didn't bark or anything. It just...
Right.
It just kept quiet.
Yeah.
And so it couldn't tell it where... It couldn't tell the sailors... It's gone.
Honestly, the dog didn't say anything.
Couldn't tell him anything.
The dog couldn't
not
say...
a word.
How unusual that is.
Weird. If only we found a dog that could actually tell us what happened to it, this story would be much less mysterious.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah, so it got on the boat. It couldn't tell him where it come from. It was dead silent, didn't bark, didn't moan. And, they took it to shore.
Right.
And now it's been given to an animal welfare centre.
Right. Is it speaking now? Is it chatting away?
Oh, yeah. He's telling his tale now. Yeah. They've put medals around its neck. And they've...
Medals around its
neck?
Yeah,
decorated.
To do what?
It's decorated with marigolds, medals, a traditional symbol of welcome and good fortune in Thailand.
Yeah. Right. Okay. But we don't know where the dog's from.
No one knows.
No. There's no clue.
Sworn to silence. Secrecy.
It's a quiet dog.
Quiet dog.
Right.
But nice story. 140 miles away. I bet he thought he was never going to be found.
That's when they found it. 140 miles out to sea.
Yep.
Wow. Just a dog floating about.
Amazing
Unless
stuff.
Unless it swam there.
Well, it would have swam there.
Could have swam there from the beach, but they reckon it might have fallen off a fishing trawler.
All right. Fair enough. Got another one?
Yeah.
Any other stories from around the world?
I've got a story from Germany. Two twins have been born 3 months apart.
Blimey, both, that is a long birth.
Both healthy. Well, the first one was a bit premature. But,
3 months?
Yeah, sort of. I think the other one might be in a bit late. I think they're right.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. Let's call it 6 weeks either side.
Non-identical twins had separate placentas. The first one was born.
Yeah.
And instead of bringing the second through, they thought, oh, we'll leave that one because the first one's a bit premature. 3 months later, so she went home.
So they left it. They knew there was another baby in there. They'd done the scan.
Yeah.
And they left the twin in there, saying, we'll let that develop for a few more months.
Pretty much.
And then out it came.
And then it was born. So they are officially twinned in those 3 months between them.
And she had about a 10.5 month pregnancy then.
Yeah, I mean, I think she went about her daily life in between the two births.
Yeah, she wasn't just lying on her back waiting for it to come out. Push! Keep pushing! I'm knackered! So push!
The one that stayed in evicted the other one.
The one that stayed in just booted it up the arse. Get out now.
I'm staying here.
It's warm.
Terrible habits. Get out.
Something like that.
That's exactly what happened, yeah.
But in German, obviously. Said it in German.
Yeah. And then Hansel came out 3 months later.
Yes.
Love Sport.
Thanks for listening to the Ian Stone Comedy Breakfast Podcast Edition. I'm back every weekday morning, 6:30.